Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
Hey, this is Craig Dilsher Media.
This is DJ Kaya.
This is Elliot D'Souza.
Hey, this is Jason D'Souza from Aldona.
Hey, this is Nash Lobo from Aldona.
This is Pascal D'Souza from Kalamazoo.
Hey, this is Rohit D'Almeida.
Hey, this is Roland Mascarenhas.
Hey, guys, this is Ron Montero from Localin.
Hi, this is Roy Fernandez from Donna Paula.
This is Ryan D'Souza from Cuba.
Hey, this is Steffi D'Cruz.
Hey, this is Tony Nazareth, and you are listening to...
And you're listening to the GSL Podcast.
And you're listening to the GSL Podcast.
That's right, everybody. Welcome back to the finale of Season 2 of the GSL Podcast. On the intro there was Kyle Machado from Bugmalo and his friend Jack Bedford. That was a little clip of them doing the O Canada at the finals. What a terrific performance, and great of them to come out to sing the national anthem for us. Really got kind of the mood hyped up at the beginning for the finals. On this episode, we're going to have a full recap of the finals and all the awards that were given out. So let's jump right into the news. First up in the news, the most important news I can give you is that the podcast will be returning for Season 3 next year. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm really happy to be coming back. You know, it does take a large amount of time to record the podcast just because I'm trying to increase the quality, bring more guests on and things like that. So next year I am going to be toying with a new format with even more guests and even more brand new drops, because I know that is the favorite part of a lot of people that listen to the podcast. They just love the drops. So definitely look forward to that, and hopefully you guys will all keep supporting the podcast next year. Next up, just talking about covering the finals. You know, I was fortunate enough this year again to do a live podcast at the finals. It's always a lot of fun to do. You know, I was kind of laughing to myself the day of the finals. I woke up, got ready and all that stuff, and I put on my GSL podcast shirt. But I thought, you know, one day I'll wake up the day of the finals and I won't put on my GSL podcast shirt. I'll put on my jersey because I'll be playing in the finals. So obviously would rather be participating, but if we can't make it, I do like to commentate and kind of make the finals an even better event for the teams that were lucky enough to make it. But I have to give a huge thank you to the executive committee, especially Sippy and Roy, who were there at the finals. Roy always helping everything get set up, making sure we have everything we need. And Sippy being the special guest at the finals, really contributing a lot of great analysis for everyone that was there. They can attest to the fact that we had a really good teamwork going, where I'd kind of do commentary, some play-by-play and some analysis, but Sippy would jump in and give his thoughts on the game. And he was always very accurate with how the finals was going and what improvements he thinks the teams could make. Also, a huge thank you to the fans of both teams. It was really great seeing Lotulim and Aguada bring out their fans in huge numbers. Both teams had really great support, really vocal support. It makes it a lot more fun to commentate the game and do the podcast at the finals with these two great teams, because their fans really get into it. Like, even when I'm not commentating, I can hear them talking to their players, talking to the ref, yelling out, gasping for breath with shots. And you can tell they're really into the game. So it makes it a lot more fun to commentate when you just feel like the crowd is really into it. So huge shout out to them for making it a lot more entertaining as well. And finally, thank you to all the podcast fans. You know, a lot of you came up to me during the podcast and even after the finals was over and I was clearing up the equipment. A lot of you come up to me and say you enjoy the show. It's your way of connecting with the league and you listen to it every week. So, I mean, it's always good to meet the fans in person. Luckily, we have about 150, 200 people listening each week, but unfortunately I don't get to meet all of you and hear all your thoughts and feedback and things like that. A lot of you do email in the gslpodcast@gmail.com, and I'm always looking to hear back from all of you, so don't hesitate to send me an email, even if it's just a quick message or things like that. But it was really great after the finals to meet up so many of you that appreciate the podcast and really look forward to it, and that's why I do it. You know, I do it for you guys. I like the entertaining aspect. I love keeping you guys in touch with the league that we all know and love, so it's always really reassuring to get that positive feedback from you guys. All right, that's it for the news. Let's get into the match recap of the grand finale. So as far as the finale goes, you know, it's the only game to recap. It's the last game of the season. It's the most important game of the season. So I'm really going to take my time here and do a deep dive into the finals and really give a lot of analysis and kind of what happened. So the way it works is obviously the game is two halves, but because of the extreme heat, and I mean it was boiling hot, you were sweating even just watching the game. I feel like I lost 5 pounds. So testament to the players that had to play under this extreme heat. So because of that, we had to have the water breaks halfway through each half. So you can really divide up the game into four quarters. So that's what I'm going to do. So the first quarter, so you know, minute zero to around 25, the play was really dominated by Aguada. They came out, and both teams were a little bit shaky, you know, a little bit nervous footing. It is the finals. But Aguada's number two, Casey DeMello, just completely took over the game. He was playing in the center of midfield, and he was winning all the tackles, winning the ball back. He was receiving the pass from defense, transition to offense. He was really doing a great job, and it really just appeared to be the Casey show for the first 20 minutes. There was no real chances created, and both teams were going back and forth, but Casey was doing a really, really good job in the middle. And that's a player I did say to watch out in the finals because he is such a huge talent. So first 20 minutes, not too much happens. We go to the first water break. And that's when Lotulim subbed in Nick Da Silva. And this was a huge turning point in the game. As everyone knows from last week's episode, I said Nick Da Silva is an extremely talented player, but he's been a real hothead this year to the point where Lotulim hasn't been able to play him. He's been getting a lot of yellow cards and a lot of verbal altercations. So they were afraid, you know, if they play him right from the beginning, what if he starts getting in a fight, things like that. So you could tell they're really trying to calm him down. They brought him in as a sub. And just to give you some perspective, this is a player that would be starting on any single team in the league. So the fact that he's coming off the bench just shows that they're trying to use him and really try and work him into the game. So he came in and instantly made an impact on the wing. Great touch, making passes. And about in the 25th, 30th minute, sent a beautiful through ball into Craig Raje on the left wing. Craig, known for his speed and his touch with the ball, one of his best attributes is it's very easy to be fast. And it's not very easy, but it is easy to have, you know, good dribbles and moves and things like that. But it's very difficult to combine being very fast and having good dribbles. I would compare him to, for those of you that follow the Premier League, Leroy Sané on Manchester City, young player, but very talented. And very quick with the ball and very fast. And this is what Craig was doing on the left wing. You could tell it was a threat that Aguada had identified because they put one of their best players, Andre Pinto, on the right defense to kind of contain him. Unfortunately, Nick Da Silva sending a really nice through ball for Craig down the left side, and the goalie came out to cut off the angle. And really the only way you can score as a striker from this position is to lift the ball over the goalie. And although it looks really simple and really obvious to do, it's harder to execute, and that's because, first of all, you have to lift the ball over the goalie with him jumping up at full strength, but it has to be low enough that it still drifts down and lands into the net. It doesn't just go sky high over the net. So it looks really easy to do, not as easy to execute, but this is exactly what Craig did, giving Lotulim a 1-0 lead. I would say, well, first of all, it was a beautiful goal, but it definitely was against the run of play. I would say Aguada had the majority of the possession, didn't have a lot of chances, but definitely had the majority of possession and seemed to have the momentum on their side. But when Craig scored, definitely changed and kind of was kind of a punch in the stomach for Aguada. So off we go to halftime, and it's 1-0 for Lotulim. As Sippy correctly pointed out during the live podcast, Aguada's main issue at this point was that they weren't playing the ball on the ground well. They were doing a lot of long balls, kind of kicking in the air. And credit to Lotulim's wingbacks, you know, they were really contesting the wingers of Aguada and not allowing them to get good crosses in or take control of their speed and things like that. So when the third quarter started, aka the beginning of the second half, you could tell Lotulim was picking up steam, starting to get more confident in the game, really start to take over the possession. Aguada didn't have as much possession as they did before, and they started resorting to long balls. The Aguada players would win the ball back, but then kind of send these long diagonal balls. And this wasn't a good tactic because anything in the air was immediately won by Neil Da Silva in the middle, Josh Coelho at the back. Aguada's strength is really playing on the ground, using their feet, using their talented players to do quick passes and through balls to each other, but on the ground, not in the air. And eventually, once again, Nick Da Silva got the ball on the left side, just outside the 18. And another player on Lotulim ran to the left side of him, which caused the defender just to switch a little bit to the right to kind of cover the pass as well. And this is a message to all the players in the league. Whenever you make a run, the point isn't to get the ball. We have a lot of players in the league that, you know, they make runs and they're calling for the ball. And if they don't get the ball, they get upset. Not all players, but a lot of players get upset. They feel like, what's the point? And then the next time they won't run as fast. They won't make that run. And the beauty of the run is if you make the run correctly and you're open, you get the ball. But just as importantly, if you're not open, you still draw that defender away from you and it opens up space for the person with the ball. And this is exactly what happened in this scenario. The other Lotulim player drew the defender just a slight bit to the left, which allowed Nick to cut in on his right. He had tons of space. He actually was looking up, do I pass, do I pass? And he's like, no, why don't I just shoot? And he shot a beautiful shot, top right corner, completely unsavable. And that put Lotham in a commanding 2-0 lead. And at this point, you could kind of sense the game was pretty much over. It was very unlikely that Aguado was going to mount a comeback. But that being said, you never know what can happen. So immediately after this goal was the water breaks. We enter the final quarter of the game. And as I predicted, Aguada had to shuffle up their lineup. They moved Cray from a center back position to more of a central mid, central attacking role. But unfortunately, after a bad tackle, Cruyff was brought down. He banged his head and he suffered a concussion and immediately had to be taken off the field. So kind of a scary moment for all the fans that were watching. A similar thing had happened to Nick Da Silva just before, but that was more of a stray elbow hitting him in the face and causing pain in his jaw. Whereas with Cruyff, unfortunately, his head hit actually the ground and he was knocked out completely. I talked to him after the game. He said he had completely blacked out. So a scary moment for him. He had to come off, and them losing their talisman was just another hit against Aguada. But that being said, you know, finals, they hinge on these crucial moments. And one of them happened actually just before Cruyff went off. There was a free kick on the far left side for Aguada. Cruyff taking it, hit a beautiful cross all the way across and into the far post. Casey jumping up and heading it down. Just picture perfect header back across the net. And as I've said before, you know, Lotlum, you have to exploit their defense. And even their goalkeeping has always been an issue for them in the past. And it's cost them some games. But Jaden George steps up. And he made a beautiful save. He was running to his left, but Casey headed to the opposite side, run to the left, stop, and dive to his right. Fingertip save, tipping it out of the net and wide of the post. Just an absolute beautiful save. And keep in mind, although Lotlum is at this point completely controlling the game, if he scores that and it becomes 2-1, it's a complete momentum shift. It gives Aguada belief. It might make Lotlum feel a bit shaky. Oh my God, is last year going to happen again? So that save was so crucial and a really, really nice save. So credit to Jaden for that. Unfortunately, on the other end, we had a goalkeeping error, a simple routine cross, you know, bouncing the box, and Andrew D'Souza was handling it, but he kind of mishandled, juggled it, and it fell down right to the feet of Aaron Atwell, who simply tapped the ball in the net. He couldn't believe his luck. He was even smiling after he scored, and at that point, 3-0, it's game over. Lotlum knows they're going to win the championship, and that's how it ended, with the final score of 3-0 for Lotlum. So that was the final as it happened. I'll give some overall thoughts, but first I'll give you some post-game interviews I did after the final was complete, and we'll start off with Croydon of Aguada.
So we're here with Croydon DeMello of Aguada. Croydon, you guys were back-to-back champions. You were going for that three-peat, only been done once before in the history of the league. Unfortunately, you came across a very disciplined, talented, and motivated Lotlum. What went wrong today for you guys?
Well, I guess it's organization when we started the game. Shout out to these guys. These guys went undefeated 2 years in a row. They deserve it. They played it. They wanted it more than us today. But next year we're going to practice. So.
Awesome. Thanks, Croydon.
So I actually agree with what Croydon said here. You could really tell that they weren't as prepared. They didn't seem as motivated. They didn't seem as crisp this final as it compared to last year. And you could tell Lotlum, they really learned from last year's mistakes. They were so motivated. You know, they went undefeated again. But last year it didn't matter because they lost in the finals. They did not want to make that same mistake this year. They wanted to break the curse, and they really wanted that win. So you could just tell the motivation was definitely on Lotlum's side. The other aspect I would point to is, as Sippy said, you know, they need to play the ball around. They need to get more possession and passing on the ground in the final third. But I actually found Aguada's defense and their midfield playing very well, especially Casey, as I said. Very composed on the ball. I found their number 9, Ian Fernandez. He was playing a center attacking mid role, and although he's a very talented player, he did not have a good game. A lot of turnovers, wasn't able to connect with his forwards. His job really is to, you know, get the ball from Casey and transition it to their powerhouses, Lester, Steven Fernandez, etc. So, you know, I really thought that he had an off game, and that really affected them on offense. Also, their left winger, Matthew Pace, you know, a junior MVP candidate, he was playing in a soccer tournament that whole weekend. He left the soccer tournament just to come to the finals. And although I commend him for his dedication, you could tell he was tired, he was fatigued. He'd been playing the whole weekend, and I can't overemphasize just how hot it was on this day. So, not his fault, but you could tell he was a little bit fatigued, and that kind of hurt them on the side. So let's go to our next post-game interview, and this one was with Captain Ron of Lotlum.
So Ron, you guys did it. You went undefeated this whole season, but most importantly, unlike last year, you guys got it done in the finals, a comprehensive victory, 3-0. When was the moment you could finally relax and realize you guys have won the championship?
So last year we were up 2-1 with a few minutes left. So for me, until the final whistle, that's a fantastic team. Let's give them a round of applause.
For you, another championship to add to the resume. you know, looking back on Lotulim's great team, so many championship teams, so many league medals, how do you think this team stacks up as far as talent and drive to the other amazing teams you've played on with Lotulim?
Yeah, so as you guys know, Wendell's been touting the curse, so it's actually been pretty sweet. All five are sweet, but, you know, we've been fighting the last 3-4 years, and hats off to every single guy on this team. We fought, and I want to give thanks to the fans. I think the fans were fantastic today. Let's give them a round of applause. I want to thank the committee as well. A lot of hard work. Let's give them a round of applause. And let's give Mr. Podcast a round of applause for spending his time over here.
Appreciate that.
So first off, thanks a lot to Ron for all the support and appreciation. Ron is a dedicated listener to the podcast, always giving positive comments, feedback. And, you know, he's a true captain and leader. You can tell that he really means what he said. You know, a lot of people afterwards, when they say something like, oh, you know, we were up 3-0, but I only felt reassured that we won once the final whistle went. It's just like a lot of team speak, a lot of coach speak. You know, you don't really believe what they're saying. It's just kind of, you know, they're playing it politically correct. But, you know, you could actually tell with him, he really believes it. You know, I think last year he really, really wanted that fifth championship. He's been waiting for it for a while. So I think it was a huge relief to him that they finally got that monkey off their back. And, you know, Ron said it, but I got to make it official on the podcast. The curse of Keegan is officially over. Kind of sad that the curse is gone, but I think they deserved it. So congrats to them on that. Just to stick with Ron here for a little bit, because I think a lot of other people can learn from him. One thing I also noticed is that Ron, you know, I asked him to speak last year after the finals in a post-game interview, and I asked him to speak this year. And obviously, you know, this year he's way more excited to do it. He's way happier. He had just won the championship. But if you actually listen to last year's interview, he did a very similar one, you know, very composed, very complimentary of Aguada, thankful to his fans, thankful to the podcast. I just think that, you know, it goes to show that despite, you know, if you win or you lose, you really have to do it with class. And I think Ron's a great captain and a great example of that. He mentioned that he's now won 5 championships and they all feel sweet. And, you know, it really is a testament to the Lotulim dynasty. For those of you keeping track in the league, you know, Para, the ultimate dynasty, with 7 championships. Lotulim now has 5. They tie Margao at 5 championships in second place. It's really going to be a race to see who can overtake Para first between Lotulim and Margao. And Lotulim is definitely on the up and up with a lot of young talent and a very, very strong team. So, you know, it just goes to show they're so dominant. They've won 5 championships, yet they're still in the shadow of another team and still have this motivation to keep going and break that record of 7 championships. After I spoke to Ron, I managed to speak to last year's MVP, Neil Da Silva.
Neil, last year, you know, you dominated the league. You rightfully won the MVP, but unfortunately, in the finals, you guys lost. This year, you know, their team comes up with an MVP, but you guys win the championship. What was different about this year in the finals that allowed you guys to win and win pretty comfortably?
It has to be the final from last year. You know, it really motivated us this year, especially such a close game, 3-2. Aguada gives us a tight run every year, and we were just very, very motivated since that final, all regular season and playoffs.
For you, playing in the center midfield position, it's your job to look at the whole game, identify the threats, and one of your greatest talents is you win every ball in the air. Every single header is won by you. Looking at Aguada's team, you know, you had Casey, Ian, Cripe, so many talented players. Who was the number one threat you guys identified on their team that you really wanted to neutralize in this game?
For us, it had to be their, you know, their leader in the back. He plays in the center back, in the mid. It's Cruyff all the time. He's so good in the air. That left foot's lethal, and we were trying to really limit, you know, free kicks from the top of the box, and luckily he didn't put any in today.
So as you can tell from Neil's response, you know, they definitely wanted to improve on last year's final. They didn't want that disappointment again. And they actually even had some specific game plans around certain players in Aguada. You know, Cruyff, left-footed, known for his extremely good free kicks. They tried to limit fouls around the 18-yard box. Now, that's something you might be saying, oh, well, I mean, why would you ever want to foul someone outside the 18-yard box? You're always going to do that. But these are the things you actually have to vocalize to your players and to your teams to really drive home the point. And then during the game, they'll actively remember it and, you know, actively focus on that one thing. And just for example, in the semifinals versus us, Cruyff did have one free kick outside the box and he buried it. So just goes to show how, you know, active preparation can really help before these finals. All right, that's it for the final recap. I'm sure all of you that were there will be able to reminisce on the final. It was a good final. It was entertaining. Unfortunately, you know, it was a little bit one-sided with the score. It would have been nice if Aguada did manage to get a goal, make it 2-1, make it 3-1 even, just to give their fans something to cheer about. And just to give the fans another shout-out, once again, it was an extremely hot day. They were there. There was almost no shade to sit in. They were cheering on their teams. They were just going wild. And actually, one of the best parts of the finals is the trash talk between the two fan groups. They come up with these, like, ridiculous lines that actually make no sense. For example, Romeo was there. He brought a drum. He was banging on the drum, cheering for Aguada. It was actually amazing to see really good team spirit and really liven up the atmosphere. But then at one point, you know, Lotulim's winning 2-0, 3-0, and Romeo's yelling out, "Oh, what's the matter, Lotulim? You're winning in silence." Because he's trying to say that, you know, they're leading, but the Lotulim fans are so quiet. And if anything, they should be commended for not, you know, rubbing it into Aguada or being obnoxious. So kind of a weird trash talk there. You know, the Lotulim fans are great. They're so vocal. They're so in the game, as I said. One of the things that is annoying about the Lotulim fans is they seem to feel that every single foul ever is a yellow or red card. It doesn't matter what the foul was. Could be a foul throw, could be a bad tackle, could be anything in between. And they always yellow card, red card. You know, fans tend to do that, so not that big a deal, but kind of funny to listen to. But overall, huge shout out to the fans constantly being upbeat on the hot day and giving their teams a lot of motivation and a lot of positive cheering. But overall, a very good final and a very fun day. Now let's move on to the awards that were handed out. So just to go through the trophies that were handed out at the finals, first up we have the Maria Caleb Trophy for the division winners. This was won by Aldana SC. Then we have the Arrow Tours Trophy for the league winners, that's the regular season, and it was won by the Lotulim Goatees. Then there was the GSL Trophy for the best sporting team. This is the team with the least amount of yellow and red cards. This was won by Donna Paula. And a shout out to Donna Paula because, you know, obviously they finished last in the league and, you know, it can be discouraging, but it's a real testament to their character and to their discipline, the fact that they only had 3 yellows for the entire season, you know, didn't let their emotions get the best of them or frustration and things like that. So credit to them. Next up, we have the CP Ratos Trophy. This is for the best defensive team, the team with the least goals against. And this was won by Lotulim Goatees with only 5 goals against for the whole regular season. Next up, we have the DeMeo J. Lobo Trophy for the highest scorer, aka the Golden Boot. And this year, I mean, all of you know it by now, is won by Steven Fernandez of Aguada with a record-breaking 22 goals. Truly an amazing feat by him. Next up, we have the GKT Trophy. This is for the playoff finalists. This was won by Aguada. Next, we have the Guadencio Fernandez Trophy. This is for the playoff winners, aka the champions. This was won by the Lotulim Goatees. Next up, we have 2 awards that, you know, they're in a secret ballot. They're voted by all the teams, and then the league amalgamates the votes and puts the winner into an envelope. It's released at the finals. You know, we don't see it in advance. It's kind of nice. It's kind of suspenseful. You could tell even the teams are waiting to hear who's won. It's a really great moment. So we'll start off with the Dominic D'Souza Trophy. This is for the junior MVP, and this year it was won by Noah Van Dreen of Kolva. For those of you that, you know, listen to the podcast, you know that I said that between the two, Noah Van Dreen of Kolva and Matthew Pace of Aguada, I would be happy with either of those players winning it. I think most people would agree that, you know, one of those two of them deserved it. I think Noah edged out Matthew for the reason that he was there more consistently. He was there for every single game, whereas Matthew was kind of in and out of the lineup due to other commitments. Also, you know, Kolva missing Johnny Van Dreen in the middle is such a loss, but Noah came in first year in the league, 15 years old, and really stepped into that role and took over and was an ample replacement for Johnny Van Dreen. So huge credit to him. I think it's a deserving award win for him, and a good sign for Kolva that they have such a promising young player on their team. Last up, we have the Fernando Barreto Trophy. This is for the MVP of the league, and this year it was won by none other than Steven Fernandez.
So Steven, 22 goals in the league, as we've said, record-breaking performance, another goal in the quarterfinals, another goal in the semifinals. Unfortunately, you came across a disciplined Lotulim defense today. It was tough for you to get the ball and get any shots in net. How will you reflect on your season and this record-breaking performance that you had?
I mean, it was a good season, but I can't accept this trophy without thanking my teammates. Came in, came out, they've been supporting me, so I wouldn't have scored any of these goals without them.
Awesome. Congratulations, Steven.
So Steven Fernandez takes home the MVP trophy. I think this was very well deserved. Definitely would have been my pick just because, you know, he made history with his goal scoring performances. Aguada definitely would not have had the season they had without him, especially due to the fact that even when they brought all their players back for the quarters and the semis, he did score in both games. And in the finals, it really wasn't his fault that he couldn't get a lot of chances. As I said, the transition play wasn't as strong and a lot of balls in the air rather than to his feet. So Steven, definitely a deserving winner. Huge congratulations to him. His biggest challenge now is going to be next season. Can he repeat this performance, or is this going to be a one-season wonder? As Andrew Fernandez of Aguada said, the Golden Boot can sometimes be a curse. You know, you win it one year, and the next year you either get injured or you don't play as well. And it's really going to be interesting to see what Steven can do next year, especially now that people know he's a threat and identify him as such a good goal scorer. Will he have that freedom to roam? Will he be able to score as many goals as he did this year? And with that said, that wraps up the finale of Season 2 of the GSL Podcast. Once again, thank you to all of you for all your support, for listening every week, for sending your kind messages. Really, really encouraging every time I hear from you guys and the fact that you love listening. I love making the show. I'm going to continue to do it as long as I can. That wraps up this year of the GSL, and we'll be back next year with all brand new episodes. But before we go, I want to end this season off like I want to end off every season of the GSL podcast. You guessed it, with an open letter. Dear GSL Executive Committee, please listen to the shadow and get some cheerleaders for the finals. I know it's hard to do. I know there's not a lot of female soccer fans, but you got to find somebody. There's only so much we can take listening to Brylan Colasso yell at us from the sidelines, or Neville Maciel correcting my incorrect pronunciation of many Goan players' last names. I understand the logistics. I know it's going to be hard to do, but you've got to try. I know it was nice listening to Romeo bang on that drum, but imagine if he was playing a beat and we had Goan cheerleaders dancing to it, waving their pom-pons and yelling out, "Go Goaties!" Okay, all right. Maybe the GSL isn't ready for cheerleaders.